Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Hebrews chapter 7.
You see, when the Lord demanded perfection from the nation of Israel, for example, if we just take the Ten Commandments and you see what God demanded from the nation of Israel under the law, you will see that Israel, as well as you and I, violated every law that was given to the nation of Israel. Every one of them. The problem is not with the law. The problem is with the human heart. And because the human heart is sinful, the law only brought to light the sin that is existing in us. For example, when the law said you shall not walk on the grass, and the sign that say you shall not walk on the grass, and we put our foot on the grass just to test to see what's going to happen, we have violated the law. This is exactly what happened. And this is exactly what happened with our nation, the nation of Israel. God gave our people the law, and there is no one Israeli individual, one Hebrew, that can say, we have kept the law to its perfection. You know, there's one law that is the last of the Ten Commandments that God gave to the people of Israel that Apostle Paul had to admit that this one he really failed to do. And this one have nothing to do with the external, but it has to do with the internal state of an individual. When the Lord said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, and so on, the last commandment that God had given to the people of Israel is something that has to deal with the internal condition of the human race. And I'm going to just read this verse. In verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet. And so on. And then verse 17, thou shalt not covet. Apostle Paul, Shaul, said, this is what really got me. I may have done everything externally. I've obeyed God's law externally. But inside my heart, I fail when God said not to covet. And I have coveted in my own heart. Maybe men did not see. Maybe others not obvious to them. But in my heart before God, I knew that I failed in this commandment. And that's why the Apostle Paul recognized the truth that he himself did the thing he did not want to do and did not do the thing that he should have done. And that's why he says, oh, wretched man that I am, in the end of the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. And so we see that because the law was so perfect, not only that the priesthood had to change, but even the law had to change. And we needed the grace of God in this present day. That's why the writer to the Hebrews is now telling them in verse 12, if the priesthood had to change, verse 12, therefore it was necessary, or it was of necessity, also that the law will change. Not because there was a problem with the law, but because there was a problem with the human race. And he continued now in verse 13 of our chapter, and he says, Yeshua belonged to another tribe altogether. For he said, he whom of whom those things were spoken pertained to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord, this is Yeshua, that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning anything of the priesthood. He's saying here, beloved brothers and sisters, that the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who became a priest after the order of Melchizedek, did not come out of the tribe of Levi. He could not be a priest. But he came out of the tribe of Yehuda, or Judah. And that's why he could not be a Levitical priest, but he could be a Melchizedek order priest. And so the first reason, from a doctrinal point of view, that the writer explained to the Hebrews, that the Melchizedek order is not after Aaron, but after Melchizedek, and therefore Yeshua the Messiah is a priest after a different order, because he could not have been a priest if he would have been of the tribe of Levi. That's the first reason. Secondly, verses 15, 16, 17, and 19. Here's the second reason. Why Yeshua's priesthood is greater in his order than the Levites? The second reason is because the imperfect priesthood and law could never continue forever. Because of the imperfection of the priesthood, and therefore it could not continue forever. He's now saying this in verse 15. And it is yet far more evident. For that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after law of carnal commandment, but after the power of eternal or everlasting or endless life. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, for there is verily this annulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. Verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing up of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. You see, beloved, I know it is kind of a difficult verses to kind of read them, but when you understand the text here from verse 15 to 19, the priesthood was partial. It was for a season. It could not bring perfection to the believers. Why? The priest died. The priest could not last. Another one had to come, and he died. And another one had to come, and he died. It could not produce perfection in the people of Israel, neither in you and I. Because the priesthood and the law was for a season and for a time. He mentioned in verse 19, the law made nothing perfect. Now, I know it sounds like we're saying that there is a problem with the law. No, by no means. I'm not saying it, because the law is holy and perfect. It is not the law the problem is. It could not bring perfection in you and I, because it could not produce in us perfection. The more the law had been brought to light in our life, the more it revealed how imperfect we are and how sinful we are. That's why it says here in verse 18, there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness. Now again, if we understand it, it does not mean that he said that there is unprofit in the law, but there is unprofit in what the law could produce in us. The law could not produce in us anything, because we have a nature that is sinful. And that's why those Hebrew believers have to understand that, because they were going back into the law, into the sacrificial system. So what if they would go back into the sacrificial system? They would offer another sacrifice, but they would have to do it again. They would offer another sacrifice. They would have to do it again and again and again. And it didn't bring perfection, because they needed to offer this again. Sin came in. Sin brought to light. And they needed another sacrifice. And that's why he says, listen, you don't need anymore to go back to the sacrificial system, because it had been done away when our blessed Lord Yeshua the Messiah came. It was done away with, and he and his sacrifice is sufficient for the believer, not for time, not for a temporary season, but forever. That's why he said in verse 19, but the bringing of a better hope, second half of verse 19, did bring perfection. The bringing of the better hope brought perfection, because it was done once and for all by our blessed Lord Yeshua the Messiah, by which we draw nigh unto God. He says, now we can draw nigh to God through the Messiah, because it dealt with the question of sin once and for all. We don't need to repeat it again and again and again. And again, so he's answering to those Hebrew believers, and he's telling them, why is it that the Melchizedek priesthood is greater than the Aaronic? Number one, because the Aaronic priesthood were imperfect. Number two, because of the fact that the Melchizedek priesthood is continuing forever, while the Aaronic priesthood had to be stopped. Look at the third reason now, in verse 20 and 22. The third reason why the Melchizedek priesthood is greater than the Aaronic priesthood is because God's oath cannot be broken. Verse 20, 21, and 22. God made an oath, and he will not repent. He cannot change. He will not change his mind. In verse 20, it says, inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this one, namely Yeshua's priesthood, he was made with an oath. By him that said unto him, the Lord swear, and I will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You know, brothers and sisters, when Aaron became a priest, and when his sons became priests, there was not an oath that had been made to them. They did not receive an oath that they will be priests forever. They had received a command to act on behalf of the people, on behalf of God, to represent God to the people and the people to God, but there was not an oath that had been made for them. But you see what happened with Yeshua that we read about in the book of Psalm 110 and verse 4, and I'm going to read that verse to you again. Psalm 110 and verse 4, we read this, simply this. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. See, God made a promise. God made an oath to the Lord Yeshua the Messiah that he is going to be a priest. Not for 100 years. Not for 200 years. Not for a season. He says, you will be a priest forever. Forever after the order of Melchizedek. An order that is entirely not out of the tribe of Levi. It's entirely not out of this earthly priesthood. Is an order of Melchizedek, which is an order which is not for a season, but forever. And therefore today, as we are sitting here, today as people who believe in Yeshua the Messiah, wherever they are today, at the same time, that they are wherever they are in this world, he is there interceding on the behalf of the people of God. He has done it 2,000 years ago, 1,900 years ago, 1,800 years ago. We can go back all the way to our present day. He is a priest forever under the order of Melchizedek. And as a priest, he represents us before the Father. Every time when we sin, every time when we need an encouragement, he's representing and he's lifting up his hands. And you remember that? His hands and his feet and his side were pierced as he was hanging on the tree. And it's a reminder, it's a token before God to remind him, God, for this sin and sins I have died. He's ever there in the presence of God and he will never cease to be a man there who representing God's people before God, the Holy God, to remind him of the work that he has done for us on the tree. And so far, beloved brothers and sisters, verse 11 to 14, why his priesthood is greater than Aaron? Number one, because the Aaronic priesthood and the law are imperfect. Number two, because of the imperfect priesthood, it could not continue forever. It's temporary. Number three, because God made an oath and he will not change his mind. We read in verse 20 and 21 of chapter 7 of Hebrews that God made an oath and he will not repent, he will not change his mind. But in verse 22, we also read, look at the result of the oath. It was, by so much better was Yeshua made a surety of a better covenant. You remember we read today in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 to the end. And you know, Jeremiah chapter 31 is the new covenant. The new covenant which God made with the house of Israel, with the tribe, with the house of Judah and the house of Israel. He had made a covenant with the house of Israel, but this covenant is a better covenant than the Mount Sinai covenant. You know why it is better? And I'll tell you why. Because the Mount Sinai covenant was a conditional covenant. The new covenant, the Brit HaChadashah, which we call in Hebrew, is an unconditional covenant. It does not depend upon our performance. It does not depend on what we do and what we don't do, because it is entirely a covenant that has been done by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. He's the one, if you remember, in the upper room, who said, "This is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for you." And he is the one that made this new covenant. In the law, under the law, Israel is expected to do something. And then God says, "If you will do this, then I will bless you. If you will not do this, then I will curse you." And we know very well that Israel, as well as you and I, could have never abided by the Mount Sinai covenant. They broke the covenant even before the law was given to them on Mount Sinai. Even before Moses went down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments, already Israel down in the valley broke that law by worshipping the golden calf. The law did not even come. They've broken the first command, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." And you and I, beloved brothers and sisters, are just the same like the Hebrews of old. We were just the same. We have broken every command of God. And then God had to introduce the new covenant. He made a promise. And that's why Hebrews 7, verse 20, 21, 22, God made an oath. He made a promise, and he will not change his oath. He will not step back from what he has made a promise. He made his servant as much that is not without an oath. He made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this was with an oath. "By him that saith unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." By so much was Yeshua made a surety of a better covenant. You know, I just don't understand how people want to place themselves under the old covenant, under the Torah, the Tanakh, the law. And they want to place themselves again and again upon the law, and we do this and we keep that and we do this. And you try to put yourself and abide by what God through the law had demanded for men. And you try to say, "God, I'm going to live for you on a basis of what you commanded me under the law." And you will see immediately, you will find out how much you fail the law and God's request. And you will find out that if God will judge you on a basis of the law, no one will ever be saved and be delivered, because we all have sinned. We have just said it earlier. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, beloved, he is giving us reasons from a doctrinal point of view now, not from a historical point of view. From a doctrinal point of view, he's saying why we need the Melchizedek priesthood of Yeshua the Messiah. Why it is so much superior than the Levitical priesthood. Why? Because the Aaronic priesthood was imperfect. Because the Aaronic priesthood in imperfection could not continue forever. It was a temporary priesthood. Number three, because God made a promise. And when he made an oath, he's going to keep the promise that he had made to the Lord Jesus the Messiah. Quickly, number four. Here's the fourth reason. Why is it that the Melchizedek's priesthood is greater? And listen, it says in verse 23, 24, and 25, it's because a priest, being a man, dies. But Yeshua being a perfect man, never, ever dies no more. And notice that. Now, let me read those verses. Verse 23 says this. And they, speaking about the old Levitical priests, there were many priests. Why? Because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Why there were so many priests? Because every priest had a season in which he lived, just like you and I, for a season. Once he finished his ministry, and once he got of old age, he died. Now look at this. If you remember, if you look back and you think of the people of Israel, they went to Aaron in the beginning. But there came a time when Aaron died. So Aaron had to establish his son to be the next high priest. But he died. And the next one. And he died. And then it makes you wonder, well, we need another one and another one and another one and another one. By reason of death, it says that the weakness of death in a Levitical priesthood, there was weakness in that the priest died. And so we need to go to another. Then he says in verse 24, but this man, speaking about the man Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. You see, when we go to Jesus, when we go to Yeshua by faith as our great high priest, he ever liveth. He ever liveth. He never died. He died once to deal with the question of sin, but he ever liveth right now. His priesthood doesn't change. Aaron's priesthood changed. His son's priesthood changed. His grandsons, the rest of the priesthood changed because they died by reason of death. But the priesthood of the Messiah have never and will never change. This man, because he continuing forever, he has unchangeable priesthood. We can come to him and we can tell him our needs. And you know, just like you and I today, looking up to him who is a great high priest in heaven, you know, 100 years ago and 200 years ago and 1,000 years ago, believers like you and I looked at him as this great high priest, the same man, because he continueth ever. Not like the others who had, by reason of death, to end their priestly service. In verse 25, Yeshua is able to save us to the uttermost. It says there, wherefore, he's able. You know, sometimes we sing, he's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Why do we sing that song? We sing that song because we know who we have trusted. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm sure that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Why, Paul, you singing that song? Why are you quoting to us such a passage such as this? Because it says here, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost, which come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And let's make sure that we understand it. Here he's talking about believers. He's not talking about unbelievers. Unbelievers, of course, need to be saved first, for their sins have to be dealt once and for all. But here, to save them unto the uttermost, it has to do with saving them, not only the salvation that we have when we first became believers in Yeshua, not only the past salvation that we had when we first acknowledged our sins before God, but present salvation. Salvation from ourselves. Salvation from the world. Salvation from Satan. It's a saving day by day, leading us, protecting us, helping us, encouraging us with every challenge that we have in our lives. And brothers and sisters, you know very well you and I can say today, Lord, you have saved me for my sin and sins, from the judgment that I deserve in the past. But Lord, I need you to save me presently, to deliver me from my sinful desires, from the world that is around me that seek to influence me and to get a hold of me. Save me from Satan, or deliver me from the power of this one who shoot the arrows at me, who desire to sift us as he desired to sift Peter in the scripture. You know, we have those three enemies we often talk about: the flesh, the devil, and the world around us. And the Lord is able to save us to the uttermost, completely to save us, even today. You see, we need a high priest that will help us right now. Right now. Not only what the Lord Jesus has done in the past for us when he died for us on the tree, but what he does for us today. And that's why it says at the end of verse 25, whoever liveth to make intercession for them. Why do you and I need somebody to intercede? Why do we pray for each other? You know, in this session where we have been praying for those that have a need, why do we pray? We pray to the Lord who is there ever lives to make intercession for us. He can talk to the Father, and he can take what we say and present it before the Father. In fact, we have in Romans chapter 8, that the Spirit of God groan on our behalf. That he, the Holy Spirit of God, take our prayers and shape it and mold it and present it before the Father.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.